we are Glow Mountain Bike. We are a podcast with a focus on recreational women's mountain biking. Our goal is to create a community with focus on being uplifting and encouraging to one another. We all ride for different reasons. Some ride to be outdoors in nature, some for mental or physical health. Others are professional athletes. Some like to race for fun or not at all, and many of us are aspiring to become professional leisure athletes. And all of us like to have fun playing on bikes. Whatever your reason for riding, this is a place for you. Hi, I'm Julie.
I'm Janet.
And I'm Anna.
And we are coming to you. Today is March 28th, and we are in Anna's basement.
Again. And it's episode 28.
Whoa. Yay.
On the 28th.
On the 28th.
It was meant to be.
Sure was.
Yeah. So how are you guys?
Good.
Yeah. Pumped.
Pumped.
Getting ready for spring.
Spring.
I feel like
in the
I
air.
Can smell dirt.
Yes.
It's right. So, we're so
like
close.
It's there.
We're so close.
Yeah.
Have you guys been out riding at all?
Nope.
No.
And like, where have you been riding? Segment's going to be kind of short.
Yeah. I'm still recovering.
Can we talk about activities outside of biking?
Yes. Okay. What have you been doing to stay busy since it's been hard to get on the bikes because our local trails are closed?
Yeah, Janet,
go.
I've done 10 jigsaw puzzles.
but one was a biker.
A shredder.
Was that sketchy trails?
Yeah, it was a biker. I did one.
Was it the artist Sketchy Trails? Do you know who made it?
It was made in Reno, Nevada.
I wonder if it
was... Tiny little pieces. It was hard, but it was fun.
Needless to say,
Janet
puzzle.
Is still recovering from surgery.
Yeah, I had foot surgery, so I'm out for like 6 weeks.
But you went for a walk today, you said. So
yeah,
you're like...
Walk, slow jog.
She's gaining.
A slow jog.
I said, if you're slow jogging, you should be able to ride.
Yeah, I know. Well,
it's less impact.
I'm kind of thinking that too, but my husband...
Yeah. He's a rule follower.
Yeah, he is.
What about you, Julie? Julie had a really wonderful adventure a few weeks back.
Yeah, little Glow epic adventure. We did a backcountry ski trip up to the Brandon Gap in Rochester, Vermont, where we dropped a car and skinned in, did some laps in the Bear Brook Bowl, and then navigated ourselves. Now, this was Stacia and I. Leading poor Kelly Walsh off into the wilderness with just, my joke of it was, don't worry guys, I have my compass. For our listeners that don't know Stacia and myself, Julie, we are the world's worst navigator.
Even with trail forks.
You name it.
Yeah.
My claim to fame is I literally got lost in my backyard on a lunch walk. True story. So why Kelly Walsh entrusted herself with Stacia, who's no better than I am with navigation.
Sure, I'll follow you guys anywhere.
into the backcountry where there was no pack trail.
Oh.
There were no signs.
Oh.
Somehow Stacia was like, I think we go this way. And I'm like, you know, my phone tells me I think you're right. So off into the wilderness we went, off to Grandma's house.
Oh,
we skinned out over a few miles to the Chittenden Brook Hut, and maybe like 15 minutes into the skin, probably a little bit less, we saw the markers for the Chittenden Brook Hut Trail.
Yes.
We're on the right track.
So we're on the right track, but it was not tracked out, and there was a fresh fallen snow, so it was a lot of work, a big adventure. And then Glow Gal, Devin Tracy, had to work during the day, so she took the access road up to the Chittenden Brook Hut and met us within 5 minutes of us getting to the Chittenden Brook Hut.
Oh, good timing.
I love when that happens.
And it was just so cool.
Meant to be.
Meant to be.
Well, and your packs, photos and videos just look awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
Had a great time.
Yeah. The packs were so heavy because they were overnight packs.
Yeah, they
so
are
we had
heavy.
Like 40. Stacia probably had 60 pounds of gear on her pack while we were trekking it through. And really, really special weekend. I guess it was a Thursday.
It was midweek. I did get on my bike once since we recorded last. I had the big hoorah in B Lot with Kelly, was there. She was telling us all about your trip. It was great. So it was one of those, I love, like every year I have one ride in the spring, and I call it the early bird gets the firm.
Oh, yeah.
Because as long as you go out when it's still frozen, you're good, but then it starts to soften up. But as usual, you know, we ended up getting a little cocky and like, well, this isn't too bad. And the next thing you know, we're like, this sucks.
Oh.
And we were way up on Quarry Red. That was not, like, we went all the way out there And then it's like a single bike tire, and then not even a bike tire. It went down Bear Cave, and we're like, crap, we got to go this way. And then we thought we'd come down Ninja Magic, and that wasn't tracked. So we ended up, it was great. It was great. It was one last hoorah.
Yes, and, right. You need it.
It was better than we thought. We did have a little bit of adventuring, but all's fine. Well. All's well.
Now the, sweet.
I'm not quite taking off my studded tires yet, because I've... You just never know, but...
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
We'll see.
Yeah, but
we'll
see. Getting close.
Yep.
We're getting close. Where's your over-under? Are we done, Janet?
All right.
When's what?
Do you think we're done for the fat biking season?
I'm done.
We'll see.
Yep.
I'm going skiing in Stowe tomorrow, so I will check. I might stop by Katie Hill and just take a peek at the trails while I'm there, see if they're still
open.
We'll see. All right. Let's move on. So... moving on with our bike parts and pieces, let's talk about the Humble Axle. So do you guys know what I'm talking about when I say your axle?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
So the axle is what attaches your wheel to your frame.
Okay, I was right. I didn't know.
Okay, so you have one in the front and you have one in the back.
Yep.
And traditionally, these were all quick-release axles, and you know your frames kind of had those little half-moon things, and you had a hollow tube that would go through, and you would have a quick release on it, so you could kind of get your tire on and off.
People would make fun of really me because I had it in the wrong direction.
Oh, right, going forward probably. Yeah.
And these were pretty small, like the quick release skewers, like generally about 5 millimeters, so pretty small. There's a tightening nut at one end, and then you tightened at the other end, and it really made it really easy to take your wheel on and off, right?
Yeah,
so if you're putting it in and out of your car or whatever, it came off really easy.
Mm-hmm.
But when else did it come off really easy?
On the trail.
So there was that small risk that it would loosen up, your wheel could come out of the alignment, come out of the drop boats. And once we got away from caliper brakes and disc brakes, I think everything became, it was a little too imprecise, and the systems just weren't working that great. And so then that led to, really the through axles that we see on most of the modern mountain bikes now. And they're a much more secure connection between the wheel and the bike. There's no chance of it slipping out under load, and it's a lot more rigid.
Yep.
But with this new axle, through axle, comes a lot of variety.
Ah, great.
The spice of life.
Yeah, I think we talked about this when we were doing our episode on wheels.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember
of
this.
The different sizes of axles.
Yep.
So there's really two main types, but nowadays there's like a third competing to get into the race. So you have your regular, which, believe it or not, now is being called non-boost.
It's called
so just
non-boost.
A through axle.
Yeah.
The fronts are usually 100 mils by 15 to 20, and the rear is 142 by 12. And then, if you remember, we all started riding boost. And the big question became, are you riding boost? You got boost? You got boost front and back? Just boost front? So boost is a little bigger. 110 up front and 148 in the rear.
Oh, yeah.
And now there's even super boost. So in the rear, 157. So they just keep getting
wider, right? That's the wider.
Yeah,
and wider. Wider,
so what's the advantage of having bigger, wider?
Well, the bigger tires, I guess, or stability?
Well, the length is longer with certain tires, like fat bike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tires, but also just more firm, sturdy.
Yeah.
So I think it's more of a handling feature.
Ah.
Yeah. So that you feel a little more sturdy if the bigger your axle is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hence boost and super boost. All right. So the problem becomes when you need to replace an axle, or if you're building up a bike and you need an axle. And so then you go to the bike shop and they ask you all the questions.
Yes.
So now if you think about your bike where it goes through, those are like the dropouts, right? Like you have that little spot and the axle goes through.
Yeah.
So if somebody said, I'm whatever length, and then you're like, well, okay, but as far as the length, do you measure from the inside of those dropouts or the outside of those dropouts?
Oh, that's a really good question.
I don't know the answer to this question.
So you do? It's,
no.
Oh.
I don't know.
So I guess they call it the over lockout dimension, or OLD.
Oh.
So from the inside to the inside.
Inside to inside, okay.
Yeah. So that's good to know, right?
Yes.
And then you have your length, right?
Is that the 110 typically? Or one hundred, one ten. Yeah.
Well, it's gonna depend.
Oh yeah, on the front versus the back. Yeah.
And then it's also the other thing when you think about your axle is on one end it's threaded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Now, believe it or not, but those threads are also different sizes. The threading. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Right.
So you have to know all these different, like, what's the thread type?
Wow.
And those are measured in different ways. I know. Like, could it get any more complicated?
No. It's over my head right now.
Yep.
So you've got your typical, your boost all the way out, 148 from the inside to the inside.
Yep.
152. Is your super boost. So that's your overall length.
Yeah.
But then you also have to know what your little threads are and what those sizes are. And so how do you do this?
Yeah, how do you
how
know
do
those?
How do you figure out?
Yeah.
Bring it to your shop?
You bring it to your shop. They know all the things.
Or you look up your specs on your bike.
Yes.
As long as you didn't modify it.
And right. Then there's this other really cool thing that you can go to, which is called the Robert Axel Project.
Oh.
So the Robert Axel Project apparently started with, like, bike trailers, or maybe, I'm not even sure if they're specifically bike trailers, but trailers in general and through axles.
Yep.
And they have, like, the biggest catalog of bike axles and trailer axles available.
Wow.
So they have a really cool website where you can punch in, I ride a Pivot 429 this year.
Yeah.
This is my hub. This is my, you know, and they'll tell you exactly which one you need and they will happily sell it to you.
Wow.
So lots of things to think about for your axle. So the next time you go ride your bike, which hopefully will be soon.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Everybody should just look at their axles, and you should at least know if you're riding, like, regular or boost.
Or super boost.
Super boost. Super boost, I think you're going to find mostly on downhill bikes, is my understanding.
Oh, yeah.
They
it
just
would make
want
sense.
More
stability.
Yeah, right? More sturdy, lots of downhill. Because, again, with everything
higher,
that's bigger, what
speed.
Are you, it's
yeah.
comes
yeah.
with more weight,
yeah,
but downhillers sense. Don't care, right?
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah. So
makes
that's
sense.
Our axle. And I did just want to put a plug in, too. If you do have a quick release, because even, like, you know, a lot of the through axles will still have the quick release end on them instead of having, like, with a hex screw or whatever, then you still have the quick release. Just always remember to double check that quick release and make sure that it's pointing up.
Yes.
And on a lot of the new ones, you know, back in the old days, you tighten that up, like, tight as you can. And the new ones now, they have a little play, and that's normal. Like, you don't keep tightening until it stops moving. A tiny, tiny little bit of play of a couple millimeters is okay.
Yep.
But keep an eye on your axle.
Yeah.
If you do have the quick release, make sure it is in the lock position.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because a lot of us, well, I don't, but a lot of people have to take off a tire to get in their car.
Exactly.
So,
and if you don't have the quick release, make sure you have the right size hex wrench.
Well, you carry that hex wrench in your car, right?
Yeah, it was a stocking stuffer 1 year from my husband.
So,
Jay at the bike shop, my husband goes in, like, what does she need? And he's like, oh, she should have one of these in her car all the time so that I can just quickly, it's actually just as quick as a quick release.
Yeah.
So on my old fat bike, I actually paid the $60 to get the new axle with the quick release.
Yeah.
But what I didn't realize is, I just needed the tool.
The
tool would have been way cheaper
and
actually easier and probably safer in the long run.
Right, but,
absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good stocking stuffer.
Yeah. So, I keep that one handy.
Yeah.
All right. So, everybody have a good understanding of their axle?
I feel like an expert.
Yes.
Not.
Well, at least you know what it is.
I do. No, I learned.
You know there's differences.
I learned in the why.
Yes. Yeah. So,
why you want boost versus super boost.
Cool. Well, that brings us to our main topic today. And we are so lucky to have some very special guests with us. We would like to introduce Isabella Ronson, who is the program coordinator for Northern Forest Center. as well as Maura Adams, who is the Director of Community Investment at Northern Forest Center. Hi, Isabella and Maura.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Pretty good. Thanks for having us.
Do you ride Boost or Super Boost?
I am embarrassed to say that I don't know, but I'm not a downhiller, so I'm going to guess it is not a Super Boost.
That might be a good pickup line for you single girls out there.
When you see a guy on the street.
You riding Super Boost?
That's a great idea. Thank you. Tell people.
Like, oh.
I like it.
Well, thanks for joining us, you guys. We're super excited to have you.
Yeah.
Could you start maybe with introducing, telling us what your titles mean, what you kind of, broad strokes of what you do at Northern Forest Center, and also tell us a little bit about your riding history?
Yeah, Maura, why don't you kick us off? Sure, will do. So my riding history, I've been riding for about 12 years. I ride a Rocky Mountain Thunderbolt, do cross-country riding.
Yeah.
I live a couple of miles from Bear Brook State Park in New Hampshire, which is a fantastic place to mountain bike if you feel like getting out of the Upper Valley.
Yeah.
We come ride there every year in the spring when it's too wet here. We do at least one ride at Bear Brook.
Yeah.
Well, let me know when you're there. I'd love to join you.
Oh, we will.
Lately, I've been trail running more than riding, but I am headed to Colorado in a couple weeks. And I'm going to be riding in Fruta. So this is good preparation.
Yeah. Yes. We loved Fruta.
Starting to get my head in mountain biking again.
Yeah, we were in Fruta a few years ago and we just loved it.
Yeah, it was fun.
You're going to have a great time.
Awesome. I'll get some tips offline maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
and as for my title and what I do at the Northern Forest Center, the center is a regional nonprofit working on community and economic development. Parts of that include projects that deal with the forest economy, with sustainable tourism, with community investment. And so that's where I primarily spend my time, is in focal communities, thinking about how to create the conditions that attract and retain younger people in this big Northern Forest Center or Northern Forest region, from the Maine woods, Northern New Hampshire, the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, and into the Adirondacks. But about 5 or 6 years ago, we were approached by an organization in New Hampshire that wanted to explore making mountain biking more of an economic driver in northern New Hampshire and adjacent parts of Maine, Vermont, and Quebec.
Yeah.
And my boss said, hey, you mountain bike, you should go to this meeting. I was like, all right, I'll go to the meeting. And next thing you know, we have a whole program that evolved into what we call Bike Borderlands, which is this coalition of 9 independent trail organizations working together to strengthen their communities, their networks, to bring more attention to mountain biking in this region. And there's just a lot of really great peer learning that goes on and boosting each other's morale when things go wrong. We've been able to raise funds to go to each of the networks for different kinds of projects, and the relation to Ride with Gratitude, that this campaign has come directly from the Borderlands group.
Ah.
And we'll talk much more about that.
You guys have been busy.
Yeah.
We are very busy.
So we watched a Bike Borderlands film last year, and there was only 5 networks. Is that right? You guys are growing like crazy.
No, we started with 6, and we've added 3.
Oh, maybe it was 6.
Over the past few years.
Okay, yeah, that's great.
You might be
great.
Thinking of our Ride with Gratitude video series.
Oh, might have been, yeah, maybe. It was great, and like you guys would go to each individual trail network, and then you'd go to the local bar, and it was so fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Those were great. Those were great films.
Thank you.
Right. What about you, Isabella?
Isabella.
So I have been with the Northern Forest Center for almost 2 years, and that is really when I started mountain biking. I would say I'm very much a beginner, and I don't do it very often, but when I do, I do it with a smile on my face.
Aww, we love that.
And I do a lot of work with the Bike Borderlands program and with Ride with Gratitude campaign, and trying to make mountain biking a better place for for everyone in the Northern Forest and everywhere else too.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah.
We appreciate all the work you've done. Now, tell us a little more about this whole Ride with Gratitude campaign.
So the idea for this campaign actually came out of something not so great that happened that I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with, when a few of the Kingdom Trails landowners closed their trails just to mountain bikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Kingdom Trails, there's a lot of commotion, like yeah. national news covering it. And Kingdom Trails is part of the Bike Borderlands group and came back to us and to that group and said, like, we have to do something. We, Kingdom Trails, have to do something to respond to this. And we, as a mountain bike community, need to do something different because, rightly or wrongly, we have a bad reputation and it's going to get worse. And in this region, where so many of our trails are on private land, we have to be better or people could just continue closing their trails to us. Yeah. We cannot take this for granted and we need to do something to change how this culture is acting, change the expectations, show people that mountain bikers actually do care about being responsible.
Ah, yeah.
So Kingdom Trails folks thought that this would be stronger coming from a group rather than just, oh, Kingdom Trails says you should be nice. Uh-huh. So we, as the Borderlands, raised some money to develop the Ride with Gratitude logo and messaging. And that was a couple of years ago at this point. Yeah. We've kind of been gradually rolling it out since then, both very most intensively at Kingdom Trails, also with all our other Borderlands groups, and more recently by trying to approach more individual trail networks, bike shops, et cetera, to get them to sign on. So Isabella will talk more about that later, I think.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was just going to say the four tenets of Ride with Gratitude are the four, you know, pillars are respect this gift, care for others, protect nature, and be the example. And there's more on all of those on our website.
Okay. Can you just say those four one more time? Because I think they're so important.
Yeah.
Respect this gift.
Respect this gift.
Care for others.
Care for others. Yeah.
Care for others.
Protect nature.
Oh, yeah. I love that one. Protect nature. Yeah.
Be the example.
Be the example. Those are awesome.
Those are great.
Yeah.
And I you know, it's one of these things too, like, I don't know about you guys, but so many times when you hear about sort of the bad behavior, and I'm always trying to stick up for mountain bikers, like, no, we're a bunch of like middle-aged rule yeah. followers, you know, like we're not like the teenage boys in plaid just doing whatever the heck we want.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, it only takes one teenage boy in plaid who camped where he shouldn't have been or whatever. And, you know, I'm being very, what's the word? Like, that's stereotypical yeah, too, yeah. to the teenage boys. Sorry, guys, because I know a lot of you are awesome trail stewards.
Yes.
But it's so hard because so much of our community are so respectful of the trail systems.
And it just takes one.
But yeah, and you know, like, do you guys know or see anybody ever really misbehaving?
No. I don't.
I mean, if you think, we do, actually. And not to large extents, right? But just pushing the boundaries just a little bit, rogue trail building,
mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
things that are going right. on like that, you know, that yeah. goes against maybe yeah. a bigger mission in which we're trying to get yeah. Support through proper channels and doing all these other things. And maybe it seems natural and logical to us, and it's probably even yeah. coming from a good place or a good yeah. thought or a good idea. But it does put everyone at jeopardy and a little bit of risk, depending on, you know, who owns that land and what's going on. So we do see it, even though it's not like egregious.
Yeah.
And other things we think about are like not paying attention to other trail users, like bombing past hikers, not even saying anything, or this time of year in particular, going on muddy trails and then mm-hmm. you know, maybe social media shaming catches up to who came on this trail, whose tracks are these?
Yeah.
But things like that. Just thinking that, oh, well, it's just me, or I want to have my fun.
Right.
And what we really are trying to do is demonstrate that it is just a few rogue people, because I think the idea is that the more people can talk about this and the wider this concept of Ride with Gratitude gets, the more we're just trying to change the impression of what the mountain biking community is and aspires to, so that we can start changing people's assumptions about who we are. Like, actually, this is a group of people who really does care, who absolutely values the privilege of riding on these trails and wants to care for the environment, etc. So that we can make that the norm and the public perception. And yeah, there's always going to be some people doing the wrong thing, but we want to make it really clear that that is the exception.
Yeah.
And I also think this is a great opportunity to help educate those people, because sometimes I think they just don't know.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like Janet, you and I have a story. I forget her name, but up from the inn at Kingdom. And she was out riding, and she was going up a trail that's often ridden down, but it's not a one-way trail. And I guess she's riding up it, and these people came by her and started yelling at her, telling her she's going the wrong way, to get off the trail. This is downhill only. And she's like, no, it's not. And I'm a landowner, and now you're yelling at me on my own land.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, you know.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to educate these people to say, hey, hold that in. This is not your property, and this is a gift that we've been given, and we need to take care of it.
And it's a constant education, right? Think about all the new riders that are coming in every single season, that it takes a while to learn all of these things. These are maybe sometimes concepts that have never even crossed our minds when we're early into our riding career. So, you know, it's something that just has to be front of mind all the time.
You know, it's not just riding either. I mean, in our trail network, our local one, we have a ton of trail runners.
Yeah, multi-use.
So, even though it says Ride with Gratitude, it's just kind of like in general, enjoy your trails with, you know, whatever, with gratitude, you know.
Yeah.
Because we share with a lot of other people. Yep. Walker, dog walkers,
And we love the slogan, Ride with Gratitude. So who came up with that?
The marketing guy that we hired.
Nice job.
That was a good hire.
Yeah.
he knows the mountain biking community too, and he gave us a bunch of options, and everyone was like, yes, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
is very clear.
Yeah. That's it. It just fits, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they came up with a cool logo, and so it's easy to sell.
Yep. Yeah. I love the logo. Job well done.
And tell us, it's been a couple years now, what kind of impact have you seen since starting the Ride with Gratitude campaign?
I can give one specific example of how we've seen it work, and then maybe Isabella can talk generally about some other things we've been happy to see. But one really great case of how this actually made an impact in one of our communities was... this trail organization was going to the town conservation commission, hoping to get permission to reroute a trail in the town forest. And there was somebody on the conservation commission who was really skeptical about mountain bikers, really skeptical about the trail, and was like, I don't know how I feel with this. And they said, well, here's this Ride with Gratitude messaging, and here's how many people in our club have taken this pledge, and we are really committed to building a more respectful mountain biking culture around here. Does that help you think any differently about our proposal to build this trail? And it did.
Success.
And it was like, okay, this can work.
That's a cool way of using it.
Now I know I have signed the Ride with Gratitude pledge. Have you guys signed?
I don't think I have yet.
I don't think I have. I know I went onto the website to take a peek at it, but it's still on my official list to do.
Yeah. All right. Can you guys tell us more about the pledge to let our listeners know what it's all about?
Yeah. So it is ridewithgratitude.org. You can go right there, take the pledge. We've had at this point 772 pledge takers thus far, and we've got goals to grow that. And the pledge is simply just saying that you agree to uphold those four tenets that we just spoke about and share them in your writing and the trails. And it gives us the opportunity to, as Mara was saying, talk to landowners and, you know, town government and that kind of thing about, make the case that these trails will be well stewarded and well cared for and enjoyed by recreationalists.
Also, it's an opportunity for trail networks to attract funding to build more trails. And when you take the pledge, there's an option to fill in why you ride with gratitude. And we get some really amazing just comments from people about what mountain biking means to them, and these great stories and personal connections of why preserving access to the trails is vital to their lifestyle, their well-being, and what they want to pass on to future generations.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's great. I love that.
It is.
Okay, so I'm signing up right after this.
That's right. And
yeah.
You guys do
ride
good
with gratitude.
Yeah.
Now, Janet.
Yeah, ridewithgratitude.org. And Isabella and I will personally send you a sticker and a handwritten note. So
it's true.
<Aww. laughs>
Put your mailing address.
Yeah.
If you put your mailing address.
Now, you know, Janet kind of mentioned it's not just bikers. Is there any interest from other trail users in adopting the Ride with Gratitude?
Attitude?
The Ride with Gratitude attitude?
I would say, yeah, we have had other user groups from different places reach out and say, like, oh, can we just amend this to say walk with gratitude, or ride with gratitude, or whatever, or run with gratitude, yeah. Hike, whatever. And we have said no, because we do really want this to be specific to this user group, because mountain biking is a culture, it is a community, and we want to own it.
Yep.
And felt like adding or expanding it or adding uses would start diluting the importance of keeping this to mountain bikers' responsibility. This is about how we act, how we show up. This is a pretty mountain bike specific issue that we need to deal with as a community. And if we started having all the other types of with gratitude, it would start making it seem like it was just an everyday thing and get
a
little watered down.
I also love that, as I know it's going to be so successful and get huge, that then mountain bikers get to take the credit for it too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, it wasn't the runners, it was the mountain bikers. Yeah. Like, we really, really care about the trails.
Well, we're building them more than anybody else.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It always amazes me how few trail runners come out for trail days. Yeah. Like, why is it all bikers? These are multi-use trails. Where are all the runners?
Yep. Yeah.
And we know they're out there because they're post-holing all winter long.
Not all of them.
As a trail runner as well. No, I would say, I think Ride with Gratitude is also a way to make other people feel a little more comfortable with mountain biking, because if you still see it as like a bunch of teenage boys in plaid, or a bunch of like bros shredding, and like it not feeling like a place of that you fit in with, I think talking about it in terms of stewardship and gratitude and respect really starts making it more human and more accessible for a broader group of people. Like, if I was at a trailhead and saw a whole bunch of like Ride with Gratitude stickers on trucks and t-shirts on people, I feel like they would be more approachable.
Like, those are my people.
Easy to say, but I do kind of think like that starts changing how they might seem to people who aren't in that community already.
For sure.
So how are you guys promoting it? Like, I was, when you just talked about it, I'm like, God, if we had posters, we could put them at our trailheads.
We do have posters at the trailheads.
That say Ride with Gratitude?
Yeah, we have like the tin, I'm pretty sure they're there. I gave them to the UVMBA. They're like little tin. And you guys were fantastic because you were at Flow Fest last year.
Yeah.
Which is where I signed the pledge and picked up the...
sticker.
The stickers, but also the plaques for the trailhead. Can you guys say a little more on that?
Cool.
So we have lots of partnerships with trail networks outside of just the Borderlands trail networks. We have partnerships with VIMBA and NEMBA, Vermont Mountain Bike Association and New England Mountain Bike Association, and a bunch of independent trail networks, mostly in New England, but some outside of New England too, that have just seen what we've been doing online and want to support from Maryland and, you know, kind of all over the place. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is.
But we also are, and that's in the, at those locations, you'll see the signs on the trailheads, which is really great. But we are also now partnering with bike shops. We have 3 bike shops so far, and that will be growing shortly this next season.
Excellent.
That are involved, and they are going to be putting Ride with Gratitude tags on every bike that they sell. So every new mountain bike they sell will leave the shop with a Ride with Gratitude tag on it. So whether you're, it's your, you know, 4th bike or your 1st bike, it's just a reminder to, you know, when you're riding your bike, you know, Ride with Gratitude and take that to the trail. Yeah.
Love it.
We also have these awesome Ride with Gratitude videos that came out last fall, this past fall, that they're 4 short videos highlighting 4 people in the mountain bike industry. There's a trail builder, a professional mountain biker, a sports photographer, and a mountain bike coach. And it just highlights their experience and why riding with gratitude is vital to their livelihood and their experience on the trail. So those are really fun to watch. If you liked the Borderlands Film Fest videos, these are a fun sort of sequel.
And I think, is the mountain bike coach Santi?
It is, yeah.
One of our favorites.
The small world.
Yeah. It's a small world, yeah. Yeah, that's so great.
And you can get to those from bikeborderlands.com or ridewithgratitude.com?
Both.
Will work. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Cool. So did you guys toss around just using other, national slogans? The one that, of course, comes to mind is Leave No Trace.
We did talk about that. It would have been a lot easier to pick up something like Leave No Trace. But again, similar to why we wanted to not just make it any user group, we really wanted to create something that was specific to and spoke to the mountain biking community. And we didn't see anything else like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Leave No Trace sort of, you see it, you know it, but it doesn't hit the same as Ride with Gratitude.
I think it's equally important, but it's focused on something more specific.
I have a question.
I just love that Ride with Gratitude taps into this emotion. Exactly. And as Isabella was saying before, we ask people when they take the pledge, why do you ride with gratitude? And they're just, it is a reminder to pause and think about how lucky we are to be able to do this, that it's a phenomenal privilege. And I can't think of many slogans or campaigns or things that tap into that emotion as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. I agree. Mm-hmm. So what is the relationship with Bike Borderlands and Ride with Gratitude?
So Borderlands is the organization that basically gave rise to Ride with Gratitude. At this point, all of the Borderlands networks have adopted it to some extent. And they sort of advise on how it's developed and used, but we have taken Ride with Gratitude more as the Northern Forest Center and run with it.
Yep.
So we're the ones who are taking it to networks outside the core Borderlands region and taking it to bike shops, etc.
Okay.
Is Bike Borderlands expanding, or is it pretty much set in the 9 trail systems?
Bike Borderlands is pretty set.
Okay.
It's really, that's been a conversation over the years, and we really want to keep it somewhat geographically contained so that you can go from the furthest points within a reasonable day's travel so that you could hit all of the places within a week or so and have a really great experience. We wanted all of the networks to have met a certain mileage of trails and have a reasonable extent of navigation and professionalism so that if we were promoting these places, people would be pretty likely to have a decent experience.
Okay.
So adding a lot of the benefit of Borderlands has just been people building relationships and coming together periodically and learning from each other, sharing ideas and lessons, etc. And if we grew it any more than we have, I think we would really start losing the personal connections that have been so helpful.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So then what does that lead you for your plans and goals for the future, you know, overall?
I would say we're still building on, for Borderlands at least, we're still looking to continue providing these opportunities for learning and growth. We actually started offering an online learning series where members of each group can will just come on and talk about some element of their work that they're especially excited about. If it's someone did something around using events as fundraisers, something on, it was just like an open discussion about fat bike grooming.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
That's been open to the Borderlands members and then some other groups that we just know and work with a lot across the region.
Yeah.
So really trying to increase the level of communication between our actual in-person meetings. Doing some training. We're putting some money into stewardship projects.
Yeah.
And youth programs. But for the future of Ride with Gratitude, I will let Isabella take that.
We have lots of goals for Ride with Gratitude and expanding that across to the world.
Yeah.
Get it, girl.
We think you should take it to the world.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we are working on expanding bike shops that are signing on to promoting Ride of Gratitude in their shops. So right now we have 3, but we're looking to grow that to, I think our goal is 25 this year.
Nice.
And our big goal, which is our stretch goal, so as I mentioned, we have 772 so far. Our big goal is to get to 2,000 pledges by the end of this calendar year.
Okay, yeah.
Glow so Girls, I hope you're listening.
Yeah.
Could help us. Help us reach our goal. Yes. That is our big goal for this year, and lots of other things in the works. We've got events coming up this summer where we'll be promoting Ride with Gratitude in the Borderlands, and lots of things in the hike.
Awesome!
I like
awesome.
It.
Awesome. How else can we help your mission? Other than reaching your pledge goals.
Yeah.
You can take the pledge. You mm-hmm. can reach out to us if your individual trail network or community wants to sign on as an official Ride with Gratitude partner.
Yeah.
You can talk to your local shop about signing on. And we're not just restricted to shops. If you make products that are related to mountain biking, we'd be happy to mm-hmm. sign those on. We have a couple of lodging places that have this signage up now, and we do request a modest donation toward the cause in exchange for the signs and the publicity that mm-hmm. we provide. Mm-hmm. But we would love to hear more from people who want to sign on. We would direct you to our colleague who's been instrumental in all this work, Joe Fox, is the center's outdoor recreation manager, and so he's the one to actually contact about this, or me or Isabella. And I don't know if you can put our contact information in the show notes, but
absolutely,
that's some ways that people could get directly involved.
You bet.
Another thing, Glow Girls, is I wish we were on video, because then you could I could show you my really cool Ride with Gratitude T-shirt.
Oh yeah!
So they have swag.
Yeah,
you can get swag through donation to Northern Forest Center. And the Ride with Gratitude T-shirts are sweet. I love mine.
They are great shirts. So if you come find us at some events this summer, we'll have all of our swag at a tent. And if you can't make it to one of our events, send us a message on Instagram, and we can probably make something work. But awesome. A little special for listeners.
Yeah. There you go.
So do you know what events you're going to be at this summer?
Yeah, so we are doing Borderlands this summer, which we're bringing back for the first time since 2019, and it's an event at each of our trail networks over the summer. So check out our Instagram in the next couple weeks for an announcement of those dates.
Okay.
It's at Bike Borderlands or
Road
Facebook
Trip.
Yeah.
exactly. They're going to be really fun events all over. I think this through the summer and into the fall at all of our networks, and they'll be really really cool events. And if you come to all of them, you get a really big prize.
Oh, I like incentives. incentives.
Add a little challenge. Yeah, and
I like those.
I'm embarrassed to say I have not ridden at all nine of the Bike Borderland facilities.
They're all so special and so different.
Yeah, I've ridden a number of them, but there's some on here that I do not know, so I'm looking forward to checking those out.
Should we tell them?
The other thing, we're going to have a presence at Nemba Fest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I don't know. Joe has a whole long
few others throughout the summer.
Joe's so one or more of us will be there.
Excellent.
At a variety of things.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Well, this has been fantastic.
Yeah, it really has.
I learned a ton
about
the whole Ride with Gratitude, the Bike Borderlands, and the Northern Forest Center connection,
right.
The Four Tenants. Can you just humor me one more time?
One more time. Respect this gift.
Respect this gift.
Yeah.
Care for others.
Care for others.
Protect nature.
Protect nature.
Be the example.
Be the example.
I love those. Those
we are on it. We are on it. I'm getting chills.
RideWithGratitude.org.
So, can you tell us the nine systems that are in the Bike Borderlands?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got Craftsbury Outdoor Center in Craftsbury, Vermont.
Yeah.
Kingdom Trails in Eastbrook, Vermont. Circuit Frontier, they're in East Hereford, Quebec.
Yeah.
Parker Mountain Trails in Littleton, New Hampshire. Franconia area in Franconia, New Hampshire. Bethlehem Trails in Bethlehem, New Hampshire. Coas Cycling Club in Gorham, New Hampshire. Inland Woods and Trails in Bethel, Maine. And Karabathit Valley Nemba in Karabathit, Maine.
Yeah.
And that is our shout out for tonight.
Yes.
Bike Borderlands. That's fantastic. Have you guys ridden all these trails?
No.
I haven't ridden all. I've ridden Kingdom, Parker, and Karabathit.
And I rode Bethlehem last year for the last time, or for the first time, not for the last time.
Oh.
Those were so good. Oh my. I cannot believe how much trail building in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
Like, incredible.
I gotta go to those videos now.
And I want to go at the Coas Trails. How much mileage do they have there?
Oh, how much miles? That's a great question.
Yeah.
Isabella might have this right on hand, but let's say 30.
Holy smokes!
It's a lot of mileage, and they're so much fun. And they have there's something for everyone. There's sort of more technical stuff in the state park at Moose Brook State Park, and then you go across the way, and there's much more, much newer, some machine built, some hand built, that feels like machine built, and you can ride from the state park across their network to the new brewery in town, which is critical.
Yeah,
Julie is sold. She's there.
It's pretty great.
That sounds fantastic. I do love how so many of these have the associated brewery and coffee shop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, really. Scary.
You know your. Your audience, right?
Yeah.
And if you're a station, you would combine coffee and a brewery.
Well, this is just great. We are really looking forward to seeing you guys at some of these events. Am I right?
It's so cool that there's such power behind the mission and the work in which you are doing, and so many people that are really just getting behind it. It's really heartwarming to see all the momentum that's going, and we can't wait to see what this grows into, and as all the shops and everyone's signing up to get behind. And just thank you for your dedication and your work to all of this. It's so impressive.
Thanks. Well, thank you so much for having us and for letting us spread our message to your audience too.
Oh, it's a great message. How can we not?
We really appreciate all the work you're doing for our community and for our trails. It's just fantastic.
Yeah. And Bike Borderlands, here we come.
That's right.
Thank you.
Our summer challenge has begun.
Yeah, we got to get the calendar out here, ladies.
Yeah.
All right. So the socials, you guys can find Instagram. I think there's some Facebook too. Am I right?
For
Borderlands. Yep.
And
it's Bike Borderlands, both places.
Okay. Yeah. Bike Borderlands on the socials. So join in the fun, and Yeah, anything else for tonight, ladies?
I don't think so. Sounds cool.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure we'll see you on the trails in the next couple of weeks unless you're coming down to... I think we're going to maybe hit some Massachusetts trails in the next week or two because rumor has it they have dirt. Yeah. So get ready, trail bikes.
Yeah.
But anyhow, we will definitely see you back here in a few weeks. Thanks again, Isabella and Maura. We really appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Take care.
Kick stands up.
Hootie hoo.